Amen. 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 Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family. Amen. Good morning to all of you who are participating via the internet, Facebook, live, YouTube. We have an opportunity to join us in service. Amen. And for all of those who are here today in the sanctuary, good morning. Happy to be here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here, that we would have, what, more than two or three gathered in His name this morning to celebrate, hallelujah, who Jesus Christ is. Amen? Amen. And for those who are tuning in, our guests that are either going to come through the doors or on the internet, this is Taylor Tabernacle Church. We are located in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Elder Jonathan Ford, and we are a Bible-based church. We believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. And you will hear the preached word when you visit us. Amen. Amen. So before I do pray, I'm going to change the order just a little, and I want to do our scripture first. And I'm going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. So I'm going to give you a chance here to get there and also at home. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you're in the sanctuary, after you find it, if you could stand up in honor and reverence of God's word as I read through it. Amen. 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 So again, we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read for your hearing verses 12 through 18. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. And live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil. But always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 I wanted to read that word before we start prayer so we understand what the Lord has told us. What? Be patient with all of us. Right? In the midst of our circumstances. Lord Jesus, we thank you this day because you brought us through. We may not be fully through, but you brought us through to this point. That with all that is going on in this world, your light still shines. Your light is still in front of us. And as you order our steps, we walk towards you, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for providing a way for us to hear your word, for to be taught your word, because it's your word that has been bringing us through. That as each and every member of this church and its guests have encountered challenges over the past year, Lord, you still made a word available to us. You still put someone in our lives to give us your word. That as we encountered that challenge, we were able to go forward. We thank you for that, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for preparing us, for we also must go out and what? Encourage one another. Thank you, O Lord Christ Jesus. Thank you for the provision of your word. Thank you that despite all the challenges our families have faced, you've still given us shelter. You've still given us a support network. You still made a way for us to make it to today to hear your preached word. Lord, that we would just feel the comfort of your presence this morning. That as you preach to us, Lord Jesus, we would feel your presence in our hearts, in our minds. Lord, that as the word is preached, we would feel like you're sitting right next to us, ministering unto us. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord. Thank you for being right there. Hallelujah. Confirm yourself to us this morning, Lord. Sit right next to us and talk to us, O Lord. Strengthen us. Increase our faith. Help our unbelief, that we would hold on to you, and that those who are out there who are lost would see us holding on to you and ask, how are you able to do it? And that we would say, come see a man. That it wouldn't be about us, but it would be about you, Christ Jesus. Whether we're in the sanctuary or in our homes, come sit right next to us right now this morning, Lord Jesus, and minister to our hearts and minds, that you would be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That you would be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Anoint our pastor right now to preach your word. The good word that you have prepared for us. That we would feel your presence and be excited. Hallelujah! That we are in the presence of the Lord. We thank you right now, Christ Jesus. Thank you for all you've done in the past and all you're going to do going forward. Thank you for all you've done for our family in the past and all you're doing going forward. Thank you, Lord. For we know you have ultimate authority and are in control. Help us to fully trust in you for your glory and your honor. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, without further ado, we've heard the read word. We've had an opportunity to pray. Now we get to hear the word that the Lord has prepared for us to sustain us. I present you our pastor, Jonathan Ford. Amen. Amen.
Good morning and God bless you. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go through the Word of God. We're in the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Mark. I'll invite you to turn there with us, the second chapter. Just going to look at four or five verses there, 18 to 22. Thank God, he's brought us. He's brought us. If you have that, again, we're in the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Mark, the second chapter, verses 18 through 22. If you're there, you'll see these words. It says, the disciples of John, referring to John the Baptist, and of the Pharisees were fasting. And then they came and they said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as the bridegroom As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Amen. May the Lord bless and consecrate his word to our heart this morning. This morning I want to talk about fasting and feasting. Fasting and feasting. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this another day that we have to assemble ourselves in your house and in your name. We thank you for those that are of like precious faith. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the superintendent of the Holy Spirit here with us today. Go with us and stand by us. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart that is open to receive and to obey. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Todd, turn these lights on. Flick that switch over there and turn those lights on. There you go. That helps me out. Turn those front lights on. No, they'll glare. There you go. This is good. I can see. And again, Christ has returned to Capernaum. He has healed the paralytic man. He has called Matthew to become a follower or a disciple of his. And now we see he encounters others who are more concerned about what his disciples are doing than what they are doing. The Bible tells us not to compare ourselves, because in so doing, it is unwise. But nevertheless, here we are. So let's just walk through this and make sure we can get the heart of what Jesus is saying here. It says the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. And they came and they said to him, referring to Jesus, "Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not?" Under the Mosaic law, the children of Israel were called to fast on the Day of Atonement. Found that in Leviticus 16 and 29. That was the only time they were called as a nation to commit to a one-day fast. But all other fasts were supposed to be voluntary and for specific reasons, such as for penitence, for earnest prayer, to get closer to God. The fact that these Pharisees raised this question shows they thought of fasting as a public exercise to display one's own spirituality. You guys with me on that? So under their law, to which they strictly adhered to, they were only called to fast simply on the Day of Atonement. Any other time that they were to fast, it was for personal reasons, supposed to be voluntary, and it was to be accompanied with earnest prayer. Okay? And what we find happening here in this story, and at the time of Jesus, they had now taken what was meant to be personal and private and have now made it a public affair. Okay? Now let's juxtapose that to what Jesus says in Matthew 16:16. Jesus says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. It says, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. He says, but when you fast, he said, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That means when you fast and go to God privately, God will put your answer on public display. You follow what I'm saying? But you upset that process when you put your fasting on display, in which God is not pleased. Right? Because when you go to Him privately and God rewards you openly, when people inquire as to how you were able to do what you were able to do, or go where you were able to go, or accomplish what needed to be accomplished, knowing the circumstances, then you will give God the glory. You follow what I'm saying? But when you put your fasting on public display, you rob God of His glory and take it for yourself. As I was reading up on this, these groups of disciples that were of John the Baptist, who had not converted to become followers of Jesus, along with these Pharisees, they fasted every Monday and Thursday of the week. And it was a big show, a big, almost like a parade. They made a big deal about it. And never realized that their what they were doing was profiting them nothing. You follow what I'm saying? So here we have it. Jesus said to them in verse 19, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Okay. Now Jesus uses the analogy of a wedding party and the associated feasting that goes along with it. And he answered that as long as the bridegroom, who represents Christ, was present with them, there should be great joy, celebration, and feasting. You follow what I'm saying? Raise your hand if you've been to a wedding, right? That's probably the most biggest and most expensive party we will ever go to in our lives. You right? Why? Because it's a time of great joy. You follow what I'm saying? A time of great celebration. And nobody comes to a wedding talking about, I'm fasting. We come to the wedding to see if we're going to get the steak and the shrimp. We want both. When that lady, no, I want both entrees. I want the salmon and the prime. I want to bring both meats on my plate. Right? So you don't cut. And on all of this is set in motion at the wedding party because the bridegroom has proposed to his bride and she has said yes. So it is a cause for celebration. So Jesus is trying to get these guys. He said, look, guys, I don't even know why you're fasting, but the reason why my followers are not fasting, because it's not fasting time. He said, in actuality, it is feasting time. Why? Because the bridegroom is here. He tells them back in Mark 1:14, he says, what? The kingdom of God is at hand.
This is not a time for fasting or for mourning. This is a time for celebration. But he says, to your point, the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. The phrase taken away from them that you see there refers to a sudden removal or being snatched away violently. And this, knowing the story, is an obvious reference to Jesus' capture and his crucifixion. So here, he's actually foreshadowing or foretelling of his own capture and crucifixion. Okay? Now granted, nobody's getting that. It's going way over their head. But in time, as they look back, hopefully they would. And he said an appropriate time for mourning was to be when Jesus Christ would be crucified. Fasting is connected to seasons of sorrow and intense prayer. What the preacher tells us out of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, he says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. There is a time in verse 4 to weep, and there is a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn, and there is a time to dance. In his response to the Pharisees, Jesus did not condemn fasting. He just indicated that this was not the time for fasting. My message to the church is that there will be times or seasons of fastings in all of our lives. All of us will go through days, weeks, periods of time that are associated with mourning, with trials, with tribulations, and with seasons of weeping. But the Bible says in Psalms 30 that weeping only endures for a night, and that joy cometh in the morning. Joy, weeping, associated with fasting, associated with trials, associated with trouble and tribulation, that only lasts for a night season. But then joy, which is associated with feasting or celebration or rejoicing, comes in the morning. These guys did not understand that the season had changed. From the way you are reacting, I think you missed it too. The seasons have changed. And you have to be able to claim that change by faith. Because Christ did not come in the manner or in the same fashion as the Old Testament had been prescribed and given to the children of Israel, these guys were unable to see or to realize that a change had taken place. Are you with me on that? You are a friend of the bridegroom whose name is Jesus. Then it's no longer fasting time for us, but it is feasting time for us. It is a time to celebrate. It is a time to rejoice and a time to give God all of the praise. Why? Because the bridegroom has come. There was a time we were waiting. There was a time they were hoping. There was a time they were looking forward to. But that time had come, and these guys were missing it. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss it. Yeah, the seasons are about to change. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it in your life. When the Spirit of God begins to move, and the seasons begin to change. Look at somebody, say, the seasons are changing. I've gone through a hard winter. I've gone through a tough time. I've already went through a season of loss. But today, joy comes in the morning. It's a season change. My time is changing. My season has come. Why? Because the bridegroom. The Philippian writer tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's rejoicing time. It's feasting time. It's celebration time. And if you have Jesus Christ, if you have been invited to the feast and the supper of the Lamb of God, then it's no longer fasting time. It's feasting time. The feast of the Lord is going on. Come ye, blessed of my Father. Here it is. Let me get out of this sermon. Here it is. 21:22. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is actually made worse than before. Here it is. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine burst the old wineskins. The wine is then spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. Look at your neighbor and say, don't do it. Now, I want you, what he's talking about here, I want you to get this. What he's describing is the wisdom of God. You gotta get, this is the whole sermon. If you don't get this, you done missed the whole thing. He says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Are you with me? Here it is. Jesus offered two parables to illustrate his new and internal gospel of repentance from and forgiveness of sin. And he was making a point that it could not be connected to or contained in the old and external traditions of self-righteous men and their man-made rituals. Are you following this? Whether you know it or not, Jesus is actually telling these guys off. I don't even know if they realized it. I'm going to give it to you again. Jesus offered two parables to illustrate that his new and internal gospel of repentance from and forgiveness of sins could not be connected to or contained in the old and external traditions of self-righteous men and their man-made rituals. Here it is. Watch out for people who tell you you gotta do it their way. That if you don't do it the way I did it, you don't got it. Watch out for that. Mark 7:13 says, in doing so, men have made, using their tradition, have made the word of God of none effect. New wines must be put into new wineskins. Matthew 26:29 says, but I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new in my Father's kingdom. Okay? He said, I'm going to drink it, but I'm going to wait till we all get there and we're going to drink new wine in my Father's kingdom. But the only way you're going to get to the Father's kingdom, you have to avoid the temptation of becoming stuck in an old way of thinking. This is the whole wineskin analogy. Wine, new wine, going into old wineskins is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was new. Under the Mosaic law, you had to convert to Judaism and be circumcised in your flesh. But Jesus comes along and says, no, all you have to do is believe in me. Look at somebody and say, that's a new gospel. They weren't preaching that in Capernaum last year. But now that the bridegroom has come, he's come with a new message. He's come with new wine. And those that are able to receive it must be like new wine skins. Here it is. Get it. New wine skins represent people who are flexible. People who are not stuck in an old way, in an old system, under an old ideology, but they're flexible enough, they're humble enough to receive a new word, a fresh word, something new. That's why God said in Isaiah, behold, I will do a new thing in you. Is there anybody here ready for something new, something fresh, a fresh move of God, a fresh anointing? Nothing has ever been like this before. You gotta be new wineskins. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So many of our churches are shriveling up and dying. Why? Because they're stuck in an old way. Stuck in an old system. Stuck in an old way of doing things. Unable to receive the new wine of the Holy Spirit. So many of our families drying up because we're trying to do it the way they used to do it. Trying to get ahead the way they used to get ahead. Never opening yourself up to let God do something new. Allow God to do something fresh. Allow God to do something that has never been done before. Because if you're not, Jesus characterized you as old wine skins. Look at somebody telling me you can't handle it. That's why when you get an anointed word, an anointed message, you can't hold it. You don't know what to do with it. The best you can do is let it spill on the ground and miss your opportunity to be blessed. Ask somebody next to you, say, are you stuck? Are you stuck? God wants to do something new. Here it is. The word of God said, they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me tell you something about the spirit. He moves however he wants to move. And if you're old wineskins, you'll miss the next move of God. If you're old wineskins, you'll miss the next breakthrough. These guys were living in the days and times of Jesus Christ himself. And they missed it. He was literally sitting in their synagogues every Sabbath. And because they were stuck in an old system, in an old way, they missed the bridegroom. And instead of feasting, they were wasting time fasting. Don't you miss it. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've done or where you've been. If you can shake yourself free and get unstuck from the mess you're in now, God says, I want to do a new thing in you. But I can't do it if you're stuck. Wherever you are, just shake yourself. Just say, I got to get loose from this. I'm stuck in old habits, stuck in old ways, stuck in old dreams. I want God to do something new and fresh in my life. I don't want to miss my season when I should be feasting. And I'm still fasting. That time has come and gone. God is now doing a new thing in me. The disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees, like many people today, were stuck in an old way of thinking and of perceiving God. Is there anyone here today ready and willing for Jesus to do something new and fresh in your life? He's here. The bridegroom is here. And all he's waiting for is new wineskins. He's got word. He's got healing. He's got deliverance. He's got breakthrough. All of it is in his voice. And all he's looking for is new wineskins. I tell you a secret. Most folks won't tell you this. But God is not wasteful. That's the end of the sermon. That's it. He's not wasteful. Meaning, he is not going to invest new wine into old wineskins. If you don't make the adjustment and get yourself free from being stuck. Every Sunday, this is what the Word of God will do. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. Because you can't handle it. You're not ready for it. And so everyone else is getting blessed but you. And you're unable to perceive God. You're unable to sense the moving of the Spirit. Goes right past you every time. And you're wondering why. Why is he getting blessed? Why is she getting blessed? Why in the world are they getting blessed? They just started coming. Why? Because they came like new wineskins. Don't waste your season when you should be feasting, celebrating what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. Instead of being like the guys in this chapter, this story, they were more concerned about what other people were doing instead of what God was able to do. Don't let that be you. You're here this Sunday morning and you find yourself stuck. Stuck in a dead-end relationship. Stuck in a dead marriage. Stuck in a dead job. Stuck in a dead career. Stuck in a dead house. Stuck in a dead neighborhood. The Bible says, he that the Son has set free. You don't have to be stuck. If you're stuck, it's by your own choice. My whole job this Sunday was just to tell you the bridegroom is here. Maybe you didn't hear the announcement. Maybe you didn't get the email. Maybe you weren't on the constant contact. But the bridegroom is here. And you don't have to be stuck. You don't have to spend your best years fasting when God intended for you to be feasting at the table of the Lord. That's our job. Our job is just to celebrate Him, just to praise Him. I will bless the Lord at all times. Why? I got the bridegroom. I'm rolling with the bridegroom. And it's celebration time. So if you're here this Sunday, there's no joy, and there's no hope, and there's no happiness, and there's no rejoicing in you, why won't you reach out to the bridegroom? The bridegroom cometh. Just say, Lord, come into my heart. Help me to allow you to do something new in me. He'll do it today. He'll do it right now. Make a choice. Are you going to spend the rest of your life fasting? Or are you going to spend the rest of your days feasting, celebrating what God has done in you? Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart and into my life. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge who and what I am. I am a sinner. And I've fallen short of the grace of the glory of God. And I need you. I need you more now than I've ever needed you before. Lord, if you don't set me free, I'll die stuck. Stuck in an old way. Stuck in an old life. Stuck in an old system, stuck in old beliefs. But I trust in you today to do something new in my life. Change my whole future. I believe in you. And I accept you as my Lord and as my personal Savior. This day and every day forward. If you prayed that prayer, if you made that acknowledgement, I declare unto you that he who the Son has set free, free indeed. You're free now. You're no longer stuck. Now you're ready for the new wine. Touch somebody and tell them, it's time to get drunk now. Yeah, yeah, the feast of the Lord. It's time to drink new wine. Here it is. I'm finished. Take this one with you. He says at the feast at Canaan, the head of the feast, when the servants brought him a cup out of the new wine and he tasted it, the Bible says he called to the bridegroom. He said, it is customary to serve the new wine first. And when the party has drunken and become full, then you bring out the old or lesser wine. But he said to the bridegroom, you've done something different. You've done something new. You've done something that has never been done before. You have saved the best wine. The best wine. The best wine. For last, who is the best wine? You and I are the new wineskins. You and I receive the best wine. The new.
I'm finished with it.
Amen. And if you did accept that call from our pastor, just visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com. Go to our contact us page and check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian. Leave us a short message along with your contact information, and someone from our staff will contact you to discuss the next steps of your Christian journey. In addition, if you have any prayer requests, go to our website, go to our prayer request page, or just simply call the church, 215-748-4578, and leave a voicemail so that we can respond to you. And always, just remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page, or follow us at Facebook. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address, and we will add you to the list. And as always, we thank you. Amen. And now it is offering time. Amen. So here at Taylor Tabernacle, we are able to give through one of three ways. You may give through text to give. Give through our website or utilize the postal mail service. To give by text, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256 and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, just go to www.taylortabernacle.com/giving and then follow the instructions. And to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And for those of us who are gathered in the sanctuary, you will find two baskets by the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering, and the other to be a blessing to the messenger of the hour. Please be a blessing to him and his household. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Amen. And at this time, we will have a special announcement by Lynn Rossiter. And let's greet her with an amen.
Good morning. Many of you have heard of or seen a garden in the backyard. And today we'd like to officially announce that Turning the Tide has a new initiative. The Garden at Turning the Tide. This program is going to offer classes to the YLE kids to learn where food comes from and eventually provide healthy food to the kids, to the church, and to the community. While the classes will mostly focus on the kids, adults are welcome too. On May 2nd, we actually broke ground, and I'd like to thank a few people who made that happen. Elder James Ford and David Craig for creating the plan for the garden. Raymond Maples and Jordan Ford for the hard work of rototilling and preparing the soil. And Anani Samuels for creating amazing photos that we're going to be able to share with all of you. The garden is fully planted. We have about 25 different plants, including tomatoes, peppers, herbs, potatoes, onions, corn, beans, pumpkins, and a whole lot more. The core garden team is managing the care of the plants right now. And in June, we're going to announce the details of our garden curriculum. Everyone who would like to volunteer to care for the garden will need to attend a short informational class prior to getting out in the garden to ensure the consistency and that everybody is has an understanding of the vision and the mission for the garden. I want to give a big thank you to Pastor Ford and to First Lady Jume for allowing us to begin this vision here at the church. We turned the tide with technology, and we're now turning the tide with the food system. I'll keep you posted with new developments and dates for the classes. Thank you.
Everybody's been wondering what in the world's been going on in the backyard. Well, now you know. Amen. And so we thank God. Lynn gave everyone else credit, but I definitely want to give her credit because it is her energy, her enthusiasm that has made all of this possible. And so to Lynn, we're indebted to you once again for helping us turn the tide. Whether you know it or not, Philadelphia has a large number of food deserts in and around this city. And in many regards, even here in Cobbs Creek. So why don't you help us as we begin to turn the tide here in this neighborhood, in this community, yet again. Continue to support us, those of you who have already contributed to Tide this year. Thank you for your support. For those of you that have not, again, I ask that you would consider doing so. We're gobbling up resources as the days and weeks go by, so your support would be much appreciated. Amen? Just to add on here before we close out, just some other special announcements. So on one, first we want to acknowledge Jessica Lyons, who this weekend starred in her school play, which was The Great Gatsby. She had singing roles, dancing roles. Thank God if you were able to live stream it, she did a great job. So we want to thank God for what she is doing. We want to acknowledge Logan Lyons, who on this weekend, attended her elementary school prom and was in fact the prom queen. I'm taking some pastoral privileges there, so, but we want to acknowledge that she had that going on. And then on yesterday, we had the opportunity to witness Deanna White graduate from Cabrini College, amen. And she'll be attending Drexel Medical School in the fall on a full medical scholarship. Okay? And we also want to acknowledge Noah Abrams for her upcoming performance. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming up. Her annual dance recital for the Conservatory for Arts and Music of Philadelphia. That's going to be taking place on June 5th. They've got a big production. They do it every year. And once again, she is the lead dancer. Amen? So I tried to tell you in my sermon, it's feasting time, not fasting time. And we are just so proud of all of our young people. While as a ministry, we have not restarted our youth ministry as of yet due to the coronavirus, yet our young people are remaining engaged, active, and participating. I'm looking here at Deacon Todd. He is the father of the busiest, how old is he? The busiest 7-year-old. The only reason I didn't list Kennedy is because Kennedy is in like 7 things and it's already 11 o'clock and I don't have time to list 7 things. Plus y'all get mad when I go over anyway. So I got to do a special one just for Kennedy and all 7 of her programs. But for all of our young people, thank you for continuing to let your light shine. Amen. Come on, let's bless our young people while we're on live stream. It is because of you that we are feasting and not fasting. Thank God for you. We just want to acknowledge all of our young people, acknowledge all of our young adults. Deanna is just one of many. Jordan's here, University of Penn, Khalil, St. Joe's University getting a master's. Courtney's getting a master's. Leah is getting her bachelor's in nursing. Courtney's in a master program. Alex is in a doctoral program. Come on, these are your young people. These are your young adults. I tried to tell you, it's feasting time. Time to celebrate what the Lord has done. Aren't you glad about it? Come on, let's stand and get out of here. Let's dismiss so we can get out in this garden and get some of this food to eat. To the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless your name. And we thank you for saving the best wine for last. Thank you for saving it for us so that we can come in and be new wineskins and receive the fullness of what you have for us. So we bless your name. We honor you. We praise you. Go with us. Stand by us. Fight for us today, God. Stand up strong in the life of the believers everywhere. In Jesus' name, all of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor Nation. See you next Sunday.